The gospel comes to us today from the book of Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew chapter 14. Now when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, and he blessed, and he broke the loaves, and he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. They took up what was left over in a few pieces, of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides the women and the children. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Everyone grieves at times in their lives. Some of us, when we grieve, it's hopping on a motorcycle and driving off countless miles in the distance till the tank runs nearly empty. For some of us, it's a road trip. And maybe it's to a favorite place that brings us memories. Comfort, smiles. And sometimes we just face the agony that comes with it. Amen? For some of us, it's a round of golf over and over again that never seems to end. For some of us, it's closing the door at home and hoping that no one will knock for a day, a week, a month. For Jesus, this morning in our text, for him, it's getting in a boat, setting out into the middle of the Sea of Galilee. He had just heard, word had been brought back to him up north that his cousin, John the Baptist, has officially been deceased, that his head was cut off in the name of the work that he was doing. The work that he was doing was proclaiming Jesus was here. The Messiah has come. And we ought to listen to him. See, word was getting around Galilee, all around the North Country, of exactly who this Jesus guy is, the miracles, and all of the things that he has shown. The evidence of the Messiah being here was quite clear, was alive and well for so many up north. But Jesus, God in the flesh, still being human in the flesh, is exhausted. And the thought of his cousin being beheaded in his name, well, he got in a boat. He floats himself out to the middle of the lake. I imagine he's sitting there and he's listening to the water lap up against the sides of the boat. I imagine he hears the birds up above cackling and cawing. I imagine he finds himself maybe even in tears just thinking about the cost of what all of this means. A thought that maybe some of us have, a thought that maybe some of us have never had to this point. But for Jesus, I imagine the weight in this moment sitting in that boat is heavy. At the same time, however, on the banks of the north of Galilee, the people are gathering. Now, those of you that are going with me to Israel this fall, you will discover, you'll see that the Sea of Galilee, the word sea is a little misleading. It is an incredibly large lake, yes, but you can still see the edge of the boat. You can see the other side of the lake. And I imagine that as this crowd gathers, their eyes are cast out on the water, looking at that speck floating there, wondering when he's going to come back ashore, and wondering if maybe he too
see me, wondering if he too will heal me, wondering if this man out there, that speck floating on the horizon, if he too might have an ounce of grace and compassion for me. Because you see, these people want to become righteous. Now, I'm going to take that word for a moment. I'm going to set that aside. When I say righteous, it doesn't mean that they want to be right. It doesn't mean that they want to be perfect. It doesn't mean that they want to be the ones that have it all figured out. It doesn't mean that they're ideologists that want to be proven that their belief in life is accurate, is correct. No, these are people that want to be right with God. These are people that want to be whole. They want to physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually be at peace. And the Northern Shore is all abuzz because of the peace that Christ has been bringing one person at a time. And as he's grieving out in a boat, they're grieving with what their lives contain each and every day as well. And as they gather, they start to move. They notice as the boat floats along across the lake, they too are going to move across the lake. Think of that mindset. Think of that desire. Think of that hope. As you stare at that speck on the horizon, we are going to go where that speck goes. Amen? And they gather and they follow. Not just one, not just 10, not just a dozen, but as Matthew shares with us, there are 5,000 men, plus the women, plus the children. Let's do the math. On the books at Lutheran Memorial, we are a membership of about 1,700. On the books. I'd love to see all 1,700 here each week. You take 5,000 men, plus the women, plus the children. How many of you have more than one child out there? Plus two, plus three. 5,000, take that exponentially, all gathered there. Imagine that. Think about it. Maybe half, maybe two-thirds of the population of Pier and Fort Pier together with hope, desire to be made righteous, staring at that speck on Lake Oahe, all following this speck all around the banks, waiting for him to come ashore again. That is a hope that so many communities in this world desperately need. Amen? And they do. They're following. They're waiting. They're waiting. And as Matthew says, Jesus has gone into this boat. And when he comes ashore, he sees the crowd. And he has compassion on them. He doesn't tell them to go away. He doesn't set them aside. He is not facetious. He looks at them. He has compassion. And back into being God in the flesh, he gets back to doing what God does best. He takes them from grief and he gives them gift. He takes himself out of grief to extol the greatest gifts to each and every one of them. He had compassion on them and he healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and they said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." It's kind of a unique little piece. The disciples come to Jesus and they're saying, "Dear Lord, it's getting late. You know, McDonald's, it doesn't exist yet, Lord. We don't have drive-thrus. We don't have this convenience opportunity. I think maybe it's a time, Lord, for you to send them back off across the shore into the towns to feed themselves. Because when people get hangry," anyone ever get hangry? Ask my wife and daughters, when I get hungry, that's a time where it's either we feed ourselves or we just stay out of the way. Amen? The disciples, we've got a mob that's the size of 5,000. And yes, they've just been experiencing a plethora of joy, but when people get hangry, the attitude changes. And Jesus says, "So feed them. So feed them." I want to pause here for a second. What happens next is vitally important. It is the only miracle in all of the Bible, in all of Jesus' ministry. It is the only miracle shared by all four Gospels. Each of the different Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, share some of the different miracles, but this is the only one that all four of them share. I think that's important. I think that means something. Back to the story, Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, so feed them. They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And the disciples, they say, but we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And I imagine Jesus smiles and he says, bring them to me. Bring them to me, he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. I love that little statement that Matthew includes. He directed the people to sit down in the grass. Out in the wilderness, every time we hear the wilderness in Scripture, the wilderness is always a deserted, barren land. It is always a place that is incredibly difficult for one to survive or one to thrive. And here out in the wilderness, Jesus takes them to the space. He directs them to sit down in the grass. And I imagine all of these Jewish men and women sitting there maybe had this image, just like the memory that they had memorizing Scripture. Believe it or not, there was a time where we made you memorize Scripture. In the Jewish culture, those men and women would have all at least memorized their Psalms at this point in their life. And Jesus directs them to sit down in the grass. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He lays me down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. There Jesus, the shepherd, the great shepherd, takes his sheep. He sets them down in green grass next to the still water. And he's about to feed them. Amen? He's about to feed them. Taking those 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Notice Jesus didn't just feed them. Jesus didn't just have them line up. Jesus wasn't the one handing them the bread. He hands them to his disciples. He hands them to his students. He hands them to those who are going to themselves become the preachers, themselves become the words, the guys that are going to give the words and give the sacraments to the people. They feed them. And as time passes, the bread continues. As time passes, the fish continues. And all of a sudden, every single one of them are eating. All of them are having their fill. And then they're going to be great stewards and clean up after themselves. And as they clean up, they have 12 baskets left. And those disciples came to Jesus with Mission Impossible. They said, this is impossible. But with Christ, all things are possible. Amen? With Christ, there are 12 baskets left over. Now, I know some of us have sat on church councils from time to time. Trustees, maybe a building project which is in the midst. And I know there are times in which we ourselves are going to look at each other and say, all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus is going to say, so feed them. Figure that one out. Feed them. What do we feed them with? We feed them with word and we feed them with sacrament. We feed them with good ministry. We feed the sheep as we take them to Benton Harbor, Michigan. We feed the sheep next year as we take them to West Virginia. We feed those sheep at the Vacation Bible School. We give them what they need most. And that is God's word and sacrament. And God, Christ, does all things for his righteousness. Amen. When we look up and we say, how are we going to do this, Lord? We have but 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus says, give me your bread and I'll give you baskets. Christ goes from grief to gift. But notice that he brought his disciples into that work with him. He takes them from grief to gift. He teaches them to preach. He teaches them to feed. And you too are all taught to preach and to feed. So no matter the grief that we have at different chapters in our lives, there are times amongst the worst of times in our lives in which we are going to either sit in that boat or sit in our bedrooms, sit at the kitchen tables, sit wherever our grief takes us, and we are going to say to ourselves, Lord, I don't know how to do this. Lord, I don't have enough daily bread to make it for the next day. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to kick this habit. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it without my loved one in my life. And Christ says, bring me your bread. I will take care of you and I will feed you. This is good news. This sets the tone for all the rest of the gospel. Because Christ feeds us through his good news. The death, grief, the challenges of life are never going to be the final answer. Thanks be to God. Amen.